Steel Curtain Network.
Speaking of pickens!
All right, Pittsburgh Steelers fans, what's going on? This is Jeff Hartman. Welcome back to another episode of the Steelers Preview. I'm joined, as always, with the triumphant trio, Dave Schofield and Brian Davis. Dave, what's up?
Hey, I'm doing great. I hope Jeff's okay if he doesn't throw his computer to the wall.
It's going to get tossed. Yeah, it's going to get tossed. I might film it and then put it on our YouTube channel so everyone can see it. But yeah. Anyways, Brian, what's up?
Jeff, this is my suggestion. This would be a good fundraiser for the network. You let your students all take a bat and like they do with an old car, you let them beat your computer and you charge them to do so.
That reminds me of Office Space when they take the printer out into the field yeah. And there's gangster rap playing as they beat the hell out of it with baseball bats. That's great.
I love that movie.
So, it is a great movie. Very underrated. All right. We're here to talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers. OTA's week two is now officially in the books and there's been a lot of rumors and things out there, and not rumors, but you hear the reports and you see the tweets and you may check out a video here or there. And there's a lot of stuff going on. We're going to talk about this in a unique way. So what I decided to do, and I was kind of the one that thought of this title for today, is to take a look at trying to predict some of the training camp battles that might be taking place. Now, for some of you out there, you might be listening to this saying, is that really difficult? In some cases, no. In some cases, maybe. We're just going to take a look at a few. We're all going to have different ones. And we're going to basically also kind of wrap up week two of OTAs throughout the process, because a lot of the stuff that we're going to talk about today is going to hinge back to OTAs and what's happening there. So do we understand the assignment, Dave and Brian?
I'm going to say yes, but I'm going to screw it up.
Seattle has two losses.
BJ Finney is not an answer, just so we're clear.
I'll screw it up too.
Dave gets the assignment. Dave, I want you to predict. It could be offense, defense, doesn't matter. Up to you. What is a training camp battle that you are excited for and that you're predicting is going to happen when the team reports to La Trobe at the end of July?
Okay. So I can take the low-hanging fruit?
Yeah, absolutely. Go for it.
Oh, okay. The training camp battle that I'm looking forward to. And of course, I'm gonna mess this up and break Jeff's rules. But I'm looking forward to the three dogs, two bones when it comes to the offensive tackle group.
Of course. Of course you are. Yeah. And you hear the reports from OTAs how you know, Dan Moore's already been practicing at right tackle, and he started that in the offseason because he probably saw the writing on the wall with the draft upcoming. Yeah, that's low-hanging fruit. You're right. So how do you see that? Where do you see the biggest battle, though, Dave? Do you see it at left or right?
Oh, I think the short-term battle was at left with the long-term battle at right. I know that sounds like a Dave answer, but I think it's the right answer because it's all about when, not if. But when Broderick Jones is going to be the starting left tackle, and then who will be the other tackle on the other side after that happens.
Okay. Well said. Brian/BJ Finney, go ahead.
So I'm actually thinking that, you know, I know Dave's saying it, but right now he's taking starters reps on the left side. So Broderick Jones, I mean, that doesn't mean that he's going to be number one on the depth chart before camp starts. But it's really interesting to see if Dan Moore's taking a lot of time at right tackle and Chukwuma Okorafor has been at right tackle. Don't you want your left tackle to be practicing a whole heck of a lot with first team? So that's kind of what I think. So I almost feel like a decision is half made that unless something goes wrong, that they actually want to go with Broderick Jones to start. This could be just like the whole Chandon Sullivan situation where he's getting first team nods in the defensive backfield and stuff like that. It could be something like that where they're just throwing everything out there, giving everybody a shot because it doesn't matter. They're in shorts. You can go ahead and do it and set it up. But I would almost think that there's an eye towards it. And I'd be anxious to see what they're looking at doing in camp. Because also another situation you have here, and this is so much different when you talk about Kenny Pickett being a quarterback and Broderick Jones being a left tackle, but they might be better off if they think that they really have something here, like in 2010 with Marquise Pouncey, to just go ahead and say, we're not bringing them in week 4. We're going to let them get the growing pains out right away.
Okay, Brian, what about you? What's a training camp battle that you're looking forward to and predicting?
Okay, well, I'm going to talk about rookies, and this is an interesting one because I actually think, because we know the starter on one side at corner is going to be Patrick Peterson. We're pretty sure of that. We could probably mark that down. And it's not ideal to start a rookie there, and it looks like Levi Wallace is going to be there, but I'm looking at a camp battle between Joey Porter Jr. and Corey Trice Jr. And the reason I'm going with the juniors here is because we have heard so much from all of these players just glowing about Corey Trice, just talking about, hey, I knew about him because of his tape, but no, he is, I read today, 3 pass breakups and a pick in practice today. I mean, the guy is turning some heads. So I would think that there might be a little bit of a battle for the higher position. I don't even want to say starting. I just like the higher pedestal as far as rookie corners go.
He is making a name for himself. That's Corey Trice. You're hearing more about him than JPJ at this stage of OTAs. And it's just OTAs. We get it. But still, the cornerback position is definitely, I think, a camp battle that is worth noting based on the fact that, you said, there's a lot of uncertainty. Patrick Peterson, we know what he can do. He talked today, Thursday, about moving into the slot some already. So I don't know what the plan is there. Dave, what do you think about cornerback?
Yeah, I think the more that everyone can do, the better it is to find out the best combination to go on the field. I think it's wise to see what Patrick Peterson can do in this slot. Just like I think it's wise to see at this stage of the game to see what Dan Moore can do at right tackle that we already talked about. So therefore, I don't know what the battle, like what the exact position is in out of the cornerbacks that they're actually battling for, other than just getting on the field and in certain situations, certain sub packages is more what it would be going for. But hey, the more great cornerbacks you have to choose from, and I mean, I said great, that's probably overstepping it at this point. The more good options you have, the better off the team is.
Yeah. And I think this is a position where I don't really know what they're going to do. I mean, you talk about all the different options. Brian laid it out perfectly. I don't know what they're going to do. Just like, I want to ask you all a question before I go into my camp battle. You're going to know what it is once I ask you the question. Dave, you and I have kind of talked about this before when you went on my Let's Ride podcast earlier to do the 53-man roster prediction. How many wide receivers do you think they'll keep on the 53 this year?
How many wide receivers?
Yeah.
I'm going to say 6.
Okay. What about you, Brian? What do you think?
I'm actually going to say 7. Because I really think that they look at the special teams guys mostly as wide receivers. So they're going to have something built in. So there'll be 7 guys with wide receiver designations, but not true wide receivers.
Okay, well, let's say that it's, I think 6 is typically the number the Steelers ride with. I mean, there might be a 7th, I guess, but let's just say it's 6 for the sake of this exercise. So we know Deontay Johnson, George Pickens, the third, I mean, you're looking at
Allen.
Yeah, but that's the thing. You have Allen Robinson. You've got Hakeem Butler. You've got Calvin Austin the third. You've got Anthony Miller. You've got Miles Boykin. I think I'm forgetting. Well, if you want to throw Gunnero into that, you can. But still, I mean, there's a lot of people, and I'm sure I forgot some. The GOAT, Cody White.
Cody.
He's there. So I just think it's going to be really interesting to see how that wide receiver position shakes itself out. And unfortunately, if past experience tells us anything, preseason is not going to dictate who does make the team. You can remember some really awesome performances by receivers who eventually found their way either to the practice squad or the unemployment line. So Dave, what do you think about the wide receiver position in terms of the battle that's going to be for maybe that last spot? It might come down to special teams. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it is going to be for special teams, not even necessarily as a returner. There's a lot of people that you can throw into the mix. I mean, how many do you really feel confident that are definites? I mean, did you say exactly how many of those, 6 or 7?
I said two.
You said two. Yeah.
Really, I mean, Deontay Johnson and George Pickens. Outside of that, do we have any that we think you would say Allen Robinson?
I would say Allen Robinson.
I do.
Most likely. Then it's the next level is when I would put Calvin Austin III, just because he was a recent draft pick. Then I really like Miles Boykin going in there with what he brings to special teams. I want to give him probably the last spot, not maybe necessarily the number five spot. And then for the other one, I really don't know. I don't think it's going to be Gunnar O. I don't think he brings enough on offense, and he got replaced as a returner last year. You're talking Hakeem Butler. Who else am I for? We said Cody White. I don't know. Anthony Miller. Yeah. Some people try to say, oh, Anthony Miller had won a job last year. No, he didn't. He didn't even play in a preseason game. He got hurt before it. Yeah. So, but I'm intrigued with what he can do. So, I mean, this is going to be probably the most fun to watch, because I think you're going to see the cream rise to the top as they get going with everything.
All right, Brian, go ahead.
Jeff, why am I smiling? Something that I've told you in the Slack channel, I've told you before. You know exactly. I think
you love Hakeem Butler.
Oh, I've got a man crush. It's not an Omar Khan size man crush, but it is a man crush on what Hakeem Butler could do. I remember wanting him out of Iowa State back in 2019. Bummed when the Cardinals took him with the first pick of the fourth round on day three. And then he did not pan out. But sometimes Arizona's where dreams go to die. So I love what he did. He had a very good quarterback for the XFL. AJ McCarron was probably the best situation he can get in the XFL as his quarterback. And he connected on 6 touchdowns. I saw some highlights. I was like, wow. Granted, it is the XFL, and I get it. The Steelers have done well with XFL MVPs before. Tommy Maddox, they brought some players in, but I'm really excited about this guy. I keep thinking about Anthony Miller, and when I look at the whole thing as a whole, there's always going to be a guy like Steven Sims or a guy that just comes out of nowhere. Who was the guy that I know he was in the XFL this year, but the guy we were all excited about, he caught the touchdown from Kenny Pickett against Seattle.
Tyler Vaughns.
There's always going to be a Tyler Vaughns. Always had trouble with his name, but there's always going to be a guy like that too, that you're like, this guy could be the last guy in. I really think that there's also going to be a situation where not all of those guys are going to remain healthy through camp. One of them is going to have an injury. I'm not trying to throw out the I word and like the jinx, but with a big stable like that, someone's going to get banged up. Anthony Miller was the first, not really a casualty, but he had a hamstring pull in OTAs last week. I mean, it was minor, but there's guys that consistently get injured, and Anthony's one of them. So there's some things that I worry about there. You know that I'm going to say the top four with Calvin Austin for a lot of the things that Dave said, and a lot of the things he's going to get a chance. I would be shocked. He would have to absolutely suck and have a lot of fumbles to go ahead and get cut.
All right, Dave, do you have another position that you're looking at?
Another position. Well, I think just how everything's going to shake out on the defensive line is pretty intriguing, because you're talking about versus who's going to get snaps, who's going to possibly not get a helmet, and who's not even going to make the 53.
Yeah. Who are the actual fringe players that you think are like the bubble?
Yeah, that's the good question. And because once again, like wide receiver, how many are they going to keep? They're going to keep 6, they're going to keep 7. I don't know that they can keep 8.
Here's a guy I want to ask you about, Isaiah Loudermilk.
Yeah, my first 53, I had him out so that way I could change something the next time, because there's a bunch of guys fighting for spots there. I mean, how many do they have? Like 9 or 10? So not they can't keep everybody there. I think the four that I would say are locked in stone are Cam, Larry O, DeMarvin Leal, and Keanu Benton.
I agree.
Yeah, because okay, the first two was for play, the second two was for pedigree. Then after that, I think you're talking about three spots being fought over by about six guys.
Yeah, you hope that that's a battle to watch. Brian, what do you think about that?
The question here is, who is going to be the definitive starter in the middle of that when they go 3-4? And right now, it seems like it very well could be Montrevious Adams, but you don't know. There are other guys on that line that they can go ahead and bring in. It depends how they play in camp, but I don't know. I really don't know who the absolute number one guy right now is in the middle of that three pack.
Yeah, I mean, you could say what? Fehoko, you could say Adams, or you could even say Keanu Benton, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It'll be and they love what Keanu can do.
For sure. Now, Brian, do you have another position that you're looking forward
to? I have an interesting one. And, you know, the running back position, of course it's safe. You know Najee Harris and you know Jaylen Warren. Those guys they're not going anywhere. Then you've got a really interesting situation for that third guy at running back. And that is simply Alphonso Graham against Anthony McFarland Jr. And Alphonso Graham, there seems to be a lot of excitement about this guy from the HBCU coming in, and with the speed and the moves and what he did in college, he seems to be like one of those undrafted free agents that I would go ahead and put. I would put Isaac Redman on him. You know what I mean? That like as an early favorite for an Isaac Redman, because those running backs, that's the position where you could really come out of nowhere, just like Jaylen Warren did last year.
There's not a lot of candidates. That's what's crazy. Like you mentioned, I mean, there might be those players that we're not aware of, but are there? I mean,
Benny Snell's gone.
Yeah.
For now.
Yeah. but no, not really. I mean, there are some names that right now I don't want to call anybody a gray face because on the 90, but there's some that we are not yet familiar with, but we are going to get familiar with. When like Jaylen Warren, I didn't know who he was last year. No clue.
Well, and last year, everyone was talking about the other undrafted running back, Mateo Duran from Duke, and that he was the one.
Oh, I was in love with that guy.
Maybe turn some heads and nothing. Everyone then said Master Teague even this year, and then he gets released. I don't know.
I see, you tease me so much when you say that name. I'm almost glad that he's gone just because it sounds like Mr. T and I get excited.
I think Master P.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's true, but I wasn't a fan of Master P, but Mr. T is the best ever.
Dave, what do you think about the running back situation?
Yeah, I think I would not be shocked if the RB3 position isn't even on the roster right now. I mean, it could be Ant Mac, but other than that, I don't even know that it's there. It could be one of the other guys, you know, Alphonso Graham that got the rookie deal the tryout at rookie minicamp. It could be someone like that, or it could be that they bring someone else in or back. Some people say, no, not Benny Snell. I love Benny Snell as RB3 because he does what you want out of an RB3, and that is plays great special teams and doesn't, from what we have seen, maybe it's different because we're not in the locker room, doesn't make a bunch of waves that he's not getting carries until his name gets called when other people go down.
I think the answer to this question comes down to it's purely special teams, but there's There's more to this equation than just the running backs and what they can do. So who's going to be your punt and kick returner this year is like question number one. If it's Calvin Austin the third, then that's great. Gunnar O's definitely gone. Anthony Miller might be gone if that's the case. And what does Anthony McFarland then provide? He doesn't really play special teams outside of being an average return man. So therefore, I wouldn't give him a roster spot. Give me a Benny Snell who will go down and make tackles on special teams and provides value there outside of being the RB3, which we hope we don't really need to use in that way anyways. So I don't have the answer. Like everyone, I've actually had this question asked to me multiple times. Who's going to be the return man? And I don't know. That's going to be something really interesting because doesn't that Alfonso guy, whatever his name is, doesn't he return?
Alfonso Graham.
Yeah, there you go.
I do believe.
Moonlight
yeah.
Graham from Field of Dreams.
Yeah. Our yeah. Moonlight Graham.
I was thinking about the whole Frank Webb, Ralph Webb situation just in the shower the other day. And I'm thinking,
I don't want to hear about who.
That's
what,
not
where,
my Batman.
How.
I do. Yeah. Hey, some will do their best thinking on the toilet. I do my best thinking in the shower. Seriously.
So you're thinking about Frank
Webb. I understand. I know what you're saying. I mean, do you know how many articles I've crafted while taking a shower? Because it's really a time to think. I just want to hear about people you're thinking about when you're in the shower.
I wasn't lathering up going, oh, Frank. But his name's not even Frank. It's Ralph. And I was even thinking more on how I let Jeff get under my skin. And I was thinking more about how I was like protecting his name, Ralph, when I didn't really care.
Yeah. His name was Frank, right?
Yeah.
I almost bought you the jersey. No, his name actually officially was Ralph. You just crowned him Frank, and that was it.
And why do we always remember Frank?
Yeah.
It's from Billy Madison. Literally, he said, no, this shirt belongs
to
Frank.
Belongs to Frank. He holds it up. Yeah. If this guy makes the team, he's going to be Moonlight Graham.
Yeah.
Archibald Moonlight Graham.
Yeah.
And I won't even know that his first name's Alfonso at that point. So, and if people don't get that reference, go watch Field of Dreams and you'll understand what I'm talking about. If you don't know that reference, like, I don't know what to say. Okay.
It's fantastic.
I love that movie.
Watch that.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to go with one that's outside the box. Dave is going to be on my Let's Ride podcast on Friday, tomorrow. And he filled in for Jeremy Jerome Betts. And I brought up the punter. Like this could be a potential camp battle. This could be Jordan Berry punter or big press part two, you know, like Rocky II. And this could be Braden Mann versus big press. And I'm not saying that I think big press is going to lose the battle. I feel like this is actually some actual competition, though. Maybe I'm wrong. I think Dave wrote the article when they signed Mann off of waivers, and I'm pretty sure that this guy's got some experience. Big leg, super inconsistent. Sounds familiar.
Former Ray Guy Award winner the year
there
before.
You go.
Big Press.
Wow, the comparison.
He was actually drafted. He was taken in the sixth round. Yeah, there's a lot of. It's
so
basically
go ahead, Dave, talk about it.
Oh, no, I was just going to say he's basically Presley Harvin 1 year earlier. But the Jets, I mean, there was even a situation where there was someone on the team that was kicking better than him, and they stuck with the draft pick. The Steelers did the same thing with Cordis Whiteman. All kinds of crazy parallels between the two.
Do you think that's going to be an actual battle, or is it just another camp leg?
I think it could be, but, you know, I spend a lot of time reading stuff at behindthesteelcurtain.com. Yes, that website still exists. Mm-hmm. But there's one thing that I always make sure that I catch on steelers.com, and that's the Asked and Answered segment that Bob Labriola does, because not only does he sometimes get some really interesting questions for people, I'm like, I can't believe they actually typed this and didn't just type it in Google. Like they someone called it a shuttle pass. It was pretty interesting with some of these he had to correct. But then he doesn't get some all his stuff right all the time either.
Right.
When he goes to answer it, which I'm like, oh Bob, no Bob. But one thing that he said, this was from today's article on Ask and Answer. They were asking about the punter and the problems, and what Labriola was saying is the Steelers really value directional punting, and they think Presley Harvin's doing a much better job than what the fan base thinks.
No. But see, this is where you have to come, and this is where I say, okay, I understand that, and I'm not saying I disagree with it.
Yeah.
But would they sign a player off of waivers and not just get some random punter out of college that's just looking to have a shot in a training camp or an off season? Like, this is where I kind of I wonder about that.
Oh, yeah. I know Bad hasn't spoken for a long time. I'm afraid he's frozen. Oh, there he moved. Okay. what I would say is, why not waivers? Because there's no guarantee you're going to get them. And they're like, oh, this guy's, you know, this could be some competition. He has some experience. If we get him, great. If you don't, oh, well, it's not like it's anything that crazy with him. So you put in the waiver for him. And if you get him, fine. And guess what? He might not make it through training camp. He might get there and the Steelers don't like it and they see someone else they want to bring in instead. I don't think there's anything that makes him a higher priority because he was claimed off of waivers. His salary is, it's inside the top 51, but not by much. So it's not like there would be a huge, cap hit by keeping him over Harvin. That's not happening. Or a big relief either way. So, and there's no dead money when you pick him up on waivers. So why not?
All right, Brian, what do you think?
Really, Dave said it all. I mean, it's the punting situation. And, you know, if the Steelers like Presley Harvin III, Elvis, as I like to call him, if they like him better, he's a large man, and his name's Presley. Anyways, if they like him much better than the fan base likes him, it makes me think of me. I like me much better than the fan base likes me. So with that being said, that's my punter analysis. Jeff's going to complain about a punter.
Yeah.
Even though he's excited about him, and that's what's going to happen. And then he's going to mention Weasel Boy, which I know, I'm sure that hurts his feelings when he calls him that, but I'm just saying.
I don't care. I'll celebrate the 70-yard punt that rolls and rolls and rolls, and then I'm going to curse the player when they shank one in a critical moment. So all I want is consistency. That's all I ask for out of the punting situation. We see it all the time in the division. How many years do we see Sam Cook, whatever you say his name from Baltimore, just, my gosh, just constantly flip the field. That's all I want from a punter.
Wasn't he like 70 when he retired? It seemed like it.
Yeah, he's still really good, too.
Yeah, I know.
Really good. All right, do either one of you have any other positions that you're looking forward to in terms of camp battles? Dave?
Oh, other positions in terms
of... I have one.
I mean, do you think the quote-unquote blocking tight end is a battle?
Well, that's where I was going to go with mine. I was going to say tight end in general, because when you throw in Connor Hayward into the mix, and where's he going to be playing, and how's that going to look? Zach Gentry, like you said, Darnell Washington. We know Pat Freiermuth's fine, but what do you think about it, Dave?
Oh, I think Connor Hayward, unless the Steelers make a move otherwise, he'll likely take the roster spot that the fullback took before, but it will be as a tight end because he'll line up, you know, as the quote-unquote H-back. He could line up in the slot like a wing. He could go in the backfield. He could be look at how many times Derek Watt was on the field last year, but not in an I situation. That's not how they always used him. So I think Connor Hayward is the player out of those guys that could slide into that role, and you could get other things out of him. If you want to talk about positionless football, that he's an example there. So I think that's going to allow them to have another spot. I really, the big question to me ultimately comes down to, does Zach Gentry do anything better than Darnell Washington?
Yeah. And that's the question. And then if the answer to that is no, does he keep a roster spot?
Well, see, and this is where you go.
I could be talked into both of these.
Yeah, I think he probably does, unless somebody else blows the Steelers away at fullback, because they're like, oh, well, do you really want Gentry as your number one tight end if Freiermuth goes down? No. Gentry, even if Gentry was your number two tight end, he's not going to move into number one. Somebody else would move into number one ahead of him, based on that. If it's not Freiermuth in the main spot, I don't think it's going to be Gentry. I think it would then be, you know, let's say he tweaks something and misses one game. That I think you're either looking at Washington or Hayward filling in that role more.
What do you think about tight end, Brian?
That's the one I was going to bring up as well. And I really think this is interesting. And you're going to scoff at me, but I'm going to go ahead and say this. I was messing around the other day on YouTube, and I found
he's
the
so busy.
All right. It was
just joking.
It was before I was going to sleep, but I mean, I figured I could have some time to myself, Jeff.
No time to yourself, Brian.
None. We don't get it. You don't get it.
So I was messing around before I went to sleep on YouTube, and it was nothing dirty live chat. And I found Madden simulations for all of the games this year. Oh. They have all the rookie. I saw one of those,
and I'm like, I'm not clicking on that. Yeah.
And so I watched one like it was actual game, and I'm like cheering, and I'm like, oh, stop. But Freiermuth was nowhere to be found. He was you saw him out there on special teams, but it seemed like a Madden darling right now, and we got to be careful about this, is Darnell Washington. And he was just tearing it up. And of course, with everything they put in for him, it's a video game. I get it. But it also makes you think if they are really smart with how they play this guy and Freiermuth, then there's no way that Darnell Washington isn't number two right away. Now, he's not the blocking tight end, but you're going to see him a whole lot more than you saw Connor Hayward. So I really think that as a rookie, you're going to see so much of Darnell Washington if they put him in the right situations and the right packages.
And you know what? I think this is a good way to wrap up the first segment. And you'll see more of us coming up after this break. We will be right back. If you're watching on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, wherever, we're going to be right back in a few seconds. Otherwise, we'll be back after a word from our sponsors. All right, Steeler fans, we are back. Second segment. Now, I don't know if Brian's ever talked about this, but there was someone in the live chat. I need to find this comment here, Brian. Because Brian has a gift, and this is kind of like Brian's trivia. And Brian is able to – is there a time frame that you know, like the number one song thing?
1980s from okay. January 1st of 80 all the way to 89, December 31.
All right, so we'll start trivia with Frosty the Bear asked Bad what was the number one song this week in 1986.
On this date in 1986. The week ending this week, it would have been Live to Tell by Madonna.
Really?
Yes. And It just knocked out On My Own by the Doobie Brother great Michael McDonald and Patti LaBelle.
I was not a Michael McDonald fan. Did not like him with the Doobie Brothers.
You know what? It's really funny because Michael McDonald has done so much backup after he was even a star, like with Christopher Cross and with the Eagles and like everything. You hear a lot of Michael McDonald in the background.
Didn't know that.
There you go.
Dave, you have trivia, right?
Of course I have trivia.
Why don't we just do it now?
We can go ahead and do our trivia right now. All right. Well, I did an article this week, and I'm going to be doing more of them because people liked it and had a good discussion, so I've got to take it further. But I was looking at first-round draft picks who played for the Steelers but not necessarily drafted by the Steelers. Now I'm going to be looking at second-round picks, and who knows how much further I'll go. But in doing so, I was looking at all of them, whether they played for the Steelers or not, from 1970 on, any player that played for the Steelers that was a first-round draft pick from 1970 on. And I was looking at the quarterbacks. Now, how many quarterbacks have the Steelers drafted in the first round since 1970? This is the easy question. because we've talked about this
in before. In the first round. Since 1970.
I've got four.
Yeah. I was going to see if Jeff got it.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, because it's four. The four are Bradshaw, Malone,
Ben
Roethlisberger, and Kenny Pickett. There have actually been nine quarterbacks who were drafted in the first round that played for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So that means there are five that were drafted in the first round by other teams. Who are those five quarterbacks?
Wasn't Tommy Maddox a first round pick?
That's one of the tough ones, and Jeff got it. The
Denver Broncos.
There you go. You've got Tommy Maddox as one for the Denver Broncos.
Go ahead, Michael Vick.
Michael Vick for the Atlanta Falcons. That's two.
That's one I probably would have just completely overlooked.
Really?
Vick? I mean, my mind's going back into like the, you know, the 80s and 90s more than I am.
I got one,
Ryan. Go.
Byron Sandwich.
Byron Leftwich? Yes, that's correct. That's three.
Was Charlie Batch?
Charlie Batch was not first round. He was second.
Okay. He was a second, yeah.
Yeah.
And Neil O'Donnell was like a third, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was like a third.
Tom Zach wasn't a first round pick, was he?
No, he was not.
No.
The most successful Ohio State quarterback ever, though. I'm not joking.
Come on, you got two left. One of them's pretty obvious.
Oh, Mitch.
Mitch Trubisky.
I said Mitch. Yeah, Mitch. Yeah, I was like, oh my gosh, he's on the team right now. It's Mitch. Yeah.
Mitch Trubisky. Do you have the last one?
Cordell was the number two.
I saw Afton say Cordell. Yeah, it's not Cordell. Mm-hmm. He was second round pick.
And he was drafted by the Steelers. These were ones that weren't drafted by the Steelers.
Jim Miller was a number four. We're a six.
Are you ready? What if I give you the years?
Oh, if you give me the year, it's done.
Do you want me to give you the year now?
Wait a second. Hold on. Pedro says one. I cheated and I looked at the live
chat. Oh, yeah.
Was it Dwayne Haskins?
Dwayne. Yeah.
He never played in a game for the Steelers.
Okay.
That's why he's not on the list. So no, that's good. That's a good guess. But he never played in a game for the Steelers.
Huh, interesting. Good. I'll take the years.
88-89.
Oh, well actually you're missing one because I just thought of one from 83.
Well, 88-89 was when they were played for the Steelers.
Okay, yeah. So
when he was drafted.
It's Todd Blackledge.
It's Todd Blackledge, who was the seventh overall pick in 1983 and then played with the Steelers in 88 and 89.
Okay. I thought you were talking about
that's the years he played with the Steelers. Yeah.
So we got them all.
That's the last one.
Man, Dwayne Haskins.
Yeah. He didn't end up on my list, but I didn't even think because, yeah.
And you're going to do how many rounds for the website?
I don't know. I'm going to see how it goes when I do round two. I did round one, and I was asked to do more. So I'm going to do another round two.
Who were your top – what did you do, top five?
I did top five, and there was people that were kind of upset with me about one of them.
So wait, you did wait. Go ahead, Ryan.
Oh.
Oh.
No, yeah. I was about to say James Ferrier, but he's not a quarterback.
Yeah, because article was not quarterbacks. My article was any player since 1970, played with the Steelers since 1970, drafted in the first round, but wasn't drafted by the Steelers. So, and I was using
top five.
Yeah, I did top five.
So
and
let me guess, you used Pro Football Reference, AV.
Yep. For me. But I didn't stick to it strictly because one of them – someone had a really high number, didn't have as high of a number, but was obviously number one because of all the decorations. How do you not put a Hall of Famer number one?
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
So what was your top five?
Just okay. Like, do you want me to go from five to one or one to five?
Yeah, five to one.
Five to one. It went five was Dwayne Washington. Four was, now I got to try to remember what it was. I wrote this article on Monday. Okay, hold on. Five was Dwayne Washington. Four was Jeff Harding's.
Okay.
I went with him in four. I bumped Minka Fitzpatrick up to three, even though his AV was a little bit lower because, you know, he's still present. I mean, come on. Three all pros in four seasons. Yeah, I think he's right there. Two was James Ferrier and one was Jerome Bettis. Now, where people took exception is that they thought that Joe Haden should have been in there other than Dwayne Washington. You know, Dwayne Washington didn't have any Pro Bowls or All Pro or Super Bowls or anything, but Haden had the one All Pro. But when you go to look at it, Haden versus Washington, Washington had 9 more interceptions, 2 more defensive touchdowns. He had 3 versus 1, 20 more passes defensed, and they didn't even count passes defensed Washington's first year with the Steelers. That wasn't a stat they were doing yet. And he had 182 more tackles, and he never missed a game. So that's why it was Washington. They're like, well, why didn't you have him tied? I'm like, technically Haden was tied for 6 with somebody else. And that other person, who I probably would have put ahead of him because they did it in fewer years, was one left tackle, Wayne Gandy.
Oh.
So those are top 7 right there. So
it's sexy names. You know, yep. Hayden's a sexier name.
Yeah. And round 2 should be coming tomorrow on behindthesteelcurtain.com because that website still exists.
Well, Washington and Haden also have something else in common. They both got called for a bogus false start in a critical moment. actually, Dwayne Washington, was that roughing the kicker or was that?
It was roughing the kicker.
Yeah, that was to Joe Nedney. Right? Yeah.
Joe Nedney. That
I could tell you where I was standing. Oh, I'm so mad.
Flopper. That was the only 2 plays I saw of that game live.
Oh, gosh. That'd be horrible.
Yep. I know. Don't get me started.
And Haden, didn't they call it was Minka? Joe Haden, did they flag Joe Haden on the Green Bay blocked field goal?
Hmm.
2 years ago in Green Bay, Lambeau Field.
I'm trying
to think if it was Minka or Joe Haden that got called for offside.
It was Minka. Joe that got it. No, Joe got it. Minka was the one who made the block.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm getting confused. See, then also remember how many kicks did they, how many times they keep calling the Steelers offsides against the Chargers. in the infamous John Bostic on Keenan Allen game.
Oh, gosh.
And the first one that they blocked, I still don't think that was offsides. But they're like, oh, he got too good of a jump. They got to flag him for that.
doesn't matter if it's a first-round pick or not, but who would you say is your favorite free agent addition in Steelers history? Dave, where would you go?
Favorite free? I mean,
because Jerome was a trade, so that doesn't count.
He was a trade. Minka was a trade. To me, my favorite free agent addition, but you got to look back to someone who you saw their whole time. I mean, Kevin Green was a really good one. He just wasn't here all that long. So that's why I would go with Ferrier.
Okay. What about you, Ryan?
I love James Ferrier, but I'm telling you, Kevin Green's my guy. That's the second free agent in the modern era of free agency that started in 1993. He wasn't the first Steelers free agent. It was a guy named Greg Carr. But I love Kevin Green, and I know he was only here 3 seasons, but man, those were 3 wonderful seasons.
Bill Cowher in his book didn't really – he talked a lot about Barry Foster leaving and the issues there. He didn't really touch on Kevin Green leaving, and I've always been curious why he only stayed for 3 seasons. He clearly was impacted by the Steelers and the organization. When he went into the Hall of Fame, he went in as a Steeler. I don't know. It just seemed like it was a perfect marriage between those two, that the organization and him, and I don't know. I hated to see him leave. But I don't know. We'll see. Those are good.
Yeah.
It's Ferrier for me. That dude was a cast off. Brian, don't you tell the story about how the Jets fan?
Yeah. I was in a Jets Texans game.
With that guy.
Yeah, he was like, good luck with that guy. We couldn't get a Hugo for him. And then then the Steelers pick him up. And next thing you know, he's all pro.
Should have been. I think he could have had a serious case for defensive player of the year in.
Hold on. I have it because
he was second in the voting.
94. He was second.
I mean, 04.
04 or is it 05?
I'm pretty 04. Sure it was 04.
It was 04.
But
04.
I've almost got it here. If you give me a second, it was 04. That was his one all pro season.
In that game that I was at, the guy actually used the phrase, couldn't get a Yugo for him. I couldn't believe he said Yugo. And but that was in December of 04 when that happened. And the Steelers were playing a night game. I was in New Jersey, and I was able to go to the game and not miss the Steelers Jaguars in Ben's rookie year. Sunday night football.
I remember that game. That was a good game.
Yeah, and honestly, I just looked it up. He didn't lose. He lost by 4 votes.
Yeah, it was really close.
Yeah. Who got it? Ed Reed.
Ed Reed with 20 votes to Ferrier 16.
And to me, that was name and position bias. Mm-hmm. Ed Reed was the flashy position. He's coming down with interceptions. You're not seeing James Ferrier, who's just plugging away every single day. Tackle, tackle, tackle. I mean, he was all over the field. It was crazy.
If Ferrier had 4 interceptions that year with 1 return for a touchdown, they had the same number of touchdowns with interceptions, him and Reed. And he's a linebacker.
You know what? I would love to do a show in the offseason sometime, greatest Steeler quotes. And James Ferrier, Potsy, has one of the greatest Steelers quotes of all time. It's a 5-star matchup because we're in it.
Yep. Was that him or was it Tomlin? Was it him?
Yep.
I don't know.
Tomlin has said it.
He said it,
but I don't know who said it first.
It was Ferrier.
We'll see. How are we going to figure this out? There's no way. So, all right. Let's do some final thoughts here.
Did I get trivia?
Oh, do you think
you had trivia?
You have trivia?
You guys didn't ask me this week.
We ask you every week. You don't have trivia.
You say no.
That's like me asking myself if I have trivia every week. I don't have trivia ever. So
if you're
Ryan, do you have trivia?
Yes, Jeff, I do. Thank you for asking. If you're not checking out all the other shows on Steel Curtain Network, you're missing out, because remember, on the audio only side, there's a lot of great shows like From the Cutting Room Floor, The Fix, What Ian's Talking About, Bad Language with Me, Here We Go. But I was listening to What Ian's Talking About with Kyle and Greg today, and they brought up the whole Le'Veon Bell situation and wanting to retire as a Steeler and talking about guys retiring as a Steeler. And they brought up the question, and nobody had the answer for, because this is very obscure, but have these Steelers ever declined somebody wanting to come back and retire as a Steeler? And yes, it happened in 2002. Do you know who that was? And I'm going to give you a hint. We mentioned this guy on this show tonight.
Someone in 2002 wanted to return
for a one-day contract.
For the one-day contract.
Let me just say, I don't know the answer, but I don't remember the Steelers ever doing one-day contracts. Like, they don't do the whole press conference. You sign a contract here. Let's do a press. They'll do retirements, but I don't know. I don't remember them ever doing the one-day contract.
Well, they did it. They did it with Santonio Holmes. I don't know if he signed the one-day contract, but they kind of call it the one-day contract.
Okay. I have no idea. Dave, you have a guess?
Well, I mean, I would say in 2002, it would have been 3 years after Kevin Green hadn't played any. Did he want to come back just to retire a Steeler?
No, it was not.
Okay, because I was going to say the timeline didn't quite seem right there, but you said someone else we mentioned.
Barry Foster.
It was a quarterback.
I was gonna say, is it one of the quarterbacks?
And it is not Ron Neil O'Donnell.
Ron. Hmm.
Was it? No, let's see, 2002.
It wasn't Slash, was it?
Nope.
No, because he would have still been playing.
He was still playing.
Yeah, that's the year he got Maddox took over for him in week 3.
That's right.
And it wouldn't have been Tom Zach.
It was Mike Tomczak.
It was Tomczak?
Yes.
Tomczak wanted to come back and they wouldn't let him.
Yeah, retire as a Steeler.
Mm.
That's why?
I don't know.
I don't know if you heard a reason. I'm not saying you know.
There really wasn't a reason. I remember when this happened live, and I always remembered this, and I was like, that is crazy. There was never a reason why. They just did not. They did not go. It was during the season, and they did not go through the request.
Wow.
I could see with it being during the season that they wouldn't want to mess with it and, you know, do the publicity thing, but interesting.
Yeah. All right. Good trivia. Is that it?
That's all I got.
Yeah. Okay. didn't want to move on and then be like,
yeah, no, I know. I don't want to get a final thought.
Oh, yeah. No.
Dave, go ahead. Final thoughts, son.
Okay, final thoughts. Today is a very interesting day. An anniversary for myself of 7 years, because it was 7 years ago today that, if you're watching with us here live on YouTube, and that didn't have to be live, but here on YouTube, Facebook, on Twitter, you see my name and then you see my Twitter handle, STLR Superfan Dad. That's because 7 years ago today, I received an email from the Pittsburgh Steelers, like I receive all the time. Now they're trying to promote their stuff, their pro shop, things like that. And for June 1st, they sent out an email. And what did it say in there? It said, you know, gifts for the super fan dad. And it was a picture of my ugly mug there that they had taken during the fan blitz. So it was 7 years ago today, the super fan dad, the Steelers super fan dad was born. So I just wanted to take that stroll down memory lane.
Oh, very good.
So if you were someone who get emails from the Steelers and stuff, if you got one 7 years ago, you would have seen my picture. That was before I was here with BTSC and SCN.
I was going to say, has it been 7 years since you've been with this entity? And I was like, no way.
No, it'll be five in September.
All right. Okay, Brian, final thoughts. What you got?
My final thoughts were, I am never going to think about that picture of Dave when I'm in the shower.
He's going to, hey, you keep the shower thoughts strictly to Frank Webb. All right. Yeah. There you go. And then eventually Archibald Moonlight Graham. All right, Dave, why don't you send us out?
Hey.
We'll see y'all next week on another Steelers.
Everybody else gets a little tight.